end all wars. It didn't. A study in 2011 shows that since the end of World War II in 1945, the numbers of wars have increased, not decreased. And today, wars still rage. Today, there are 10 official wars and 8 active military conflicts. Today, 64 nations and 576 militias and separatists are engaged in civil, revolutionary, or terrorist actions. And of these, the fighting in Syria, Yemen, and Afghanistan is by far the worst. We live in an age of war and violence. So what, as Christians, can we say to this broken and hurting world? What is the message of the gospel to a war-torn world? What is God's word to us on this Remembrance Day? Psalm 46 gives us an answer. I'm sure as you heard the words read, you'll be familiar with this psalm, and perhaps it is one of the most familiar and one of the most comforting of all the psalms. I'm sure many of us cling to the words in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Or how many of us find hope in the opening words, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble." What makes this psalm so meaningful to me is its honesty and its confidence. In 11 verses, it tells the truth about our world, about God's faithfulness, and we also hear two commands to revive our faith and stop our fruitless anxiety. You see, in this psalm, we're brought back to what matters. What matters for a day like today, Remembrance Sunday. So what is the truth about our world? The truth about our world is that bad things happen. Verses 2 and 3 describe the earth giving away, mountains falling into the heart of the sea, waters roaring, and mountains quaking. The first of the bad things that happen that we hear about in this psalm are what we might call natural disasters. When I arrived in England just over 4 weeks ago, the country was reeling from a serious storm. It was called Storm Callum. Now, I confess to being somewhat embarrassed to mention my name, lest I be accused of causing all this damage. In any case, I think the storm was misnamed. Callum comes from the ancient Celtic language, and it means dove, a symbol of peace. That surprised you, didn't it? Yes. Nevertheless, this storm caused great damage. But Storm Callum was nothing compared with the damage and loss of life caused by hurricanes and typhoons, floods and famine, disease and death. Several of us have experienced such calamities firsthand. Some of us have family and friends trying to rebuild their lives after the typhoons in the Philippines. Others of us have seen firsthand the damage caused by forest fires, like those in California today. It's a hard truth, but we live in a fallen, broken, sinful world, and even with the best protection possible, there is in this world no guarantee of immunity from natural disaster. But natural disasters are not the only bad things that happen. As human beings, sadly, we are capable of terrible pain and destruction. And verse 6 reminds us of human complicity in tragedy. It says, "Their nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall." In other words, people do bad things. Almost 3 weeks ago, on a Tuesday evening, Catherine, my daughter Skylyn, and I were walking through St. James's Park, which is very near Buckingham Palace in the centre of London. And a young man and woman were walking towards us, holding hands. Suddenly, a cyclist came out of nowhere, hit the woman at speed, and knocked her head on. She fell with a thump on the concrete pavement. The young man with her was livid, and the air turned quite blue. Thankfully, the young man and the cyclist both backed down, and apologies were offered. Everything was settled. But the fact is that cycling in St. James's Park is prohibited. The cyclist should not have been there. If he'd followed the clearly marked signs, the woman would not have been hurt. It's just a trivial example, but an example nevertheless of the bad things that we as people do. But what about sexual abuse? That's not trivial. What about fraud? That's not trivial. What about domestic violence? That's not trivial. What about economic injustice? That's not trivial. What about terrorist activity? That's not trivial. What about violence because of hatred? That's not trivial. And sadly, these things happen. They may even have happened to us or to people we care about. It may seem strange to say, but I take comfort that the Bible is not naive. It does not assume that everything is easy. Psalm 46 is very honest. It's realistic about the tragedies of life. We live in a broken world where bad things happen, and none of us is immune. But the psalm does not stop there. Waters may surge, mountains may quake, but this psalm gives us something much more meaningful. Something to say into our broken, violent, hurting world. The assurance of God's presence. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. When we were back in England, in my mum's kitchen, there was a broken drawer. It's a large drawer, and she uses it to store plates and cups. And the slides on the drawer had worn out, and my mum was frustrated and at times in tears because it was difficult to open and close the drawer. So I dismantled the drawer. I bought new drawer slides. I repaired the drawer. And now my mum tells me how wonderful it is to be able to open and close this drawer with ease. It's even better than it was when it was first working. She needed someone who was there. Someone who saw her tears. Someone who understood the problem. And someone who had the time to repair the drawer. The author of this psalm wants to give us the same assurance. God is with us. In our struggles and our difficulties, God is our ever-present help. But why can the author of this psalm give us this assurance? I'm sure it's because it must have been his own testimony that God had proven to be his strength and refuge, and therefore he can encourage others that God will be their strength and refuge. When I served in England many years ago, I had a pastoral colleague who served in a church not far from the one I served in. She and her husband had the joy of having a child, but the child was born with severe disabilities. And when the child was born, many people asked her how she could keep on trusting God when her baby was so disabled. Her reply spoke volumes to me about her faith in God and about this God whom she knew to be Lord and Savior. She said this: "It's precisely for times like this that I trust and need God. It's precisely for times like this when I trust and need God." She knew that no matter what happened, no matter the tragedy of this disability that had befallen this child and therefore her family, she knew that God was still her strength and refuge. And this trust that she had, this faith that she had in the face of hardship, gave her depth to her ministry. She had a compassion and a love for others that just shone with the very love of God. Her life had been forged in the midst of grief, but in that, she knew God was with her. No doubt you've heard the very famous story of Horatio Spafford and his hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Spafford's son was killed at the age of 2 in the Chicago fire of 1871. This same fire ruined Spafford financially as he invested in much of the property that ended up being burned. And 2 years later, in 1873, he planned to take his family to Europe. But at the last minute, he had a business meeting, so he sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead of him. Tragically, the ship carrying his family collided with another in the mid-Atlantic. All 4 of Spafford's daughters drowned. Shortly afterwards, he went to meet his grieving wife. And as the ship passed near the point where his daughters had died, he wrote his now famous hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin..." Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. "My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in times of trouble. My colleague in England knew this. Horatio Spafford knew this. The author of this psalm knew this. And he wants us to know it too. When the earth moves and the sea roars, we know to whom we can turn. How do we turn? How can our faith be revived and our anxiety be stopped? There are 2 commands in this psalm that do precisely this. The first is in verse 8. "Come and see the works of the Lord." In the context, this verse describes God's purpose of justice and of peace. It's a command to have hope. Hope because God's purposes will succeed. almost 3 weeks ago, we walked across Westminster Bridge in London. It's a bridge by Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. Perhaps you can picture it in your mind. But you may remember that in March last year, a terrorist drove on that bridge onto the sidewalk, killed 5 people and injured a further 49. Today, it's impossible for a car to drive onto that sidewalk. There are solid concrete barricades. And as we walked across that bridge, I thought of those victims. But I also thought, looking at those concrete barricades, of the solution put in place. Yes, barricades may prevent another attack, but barricades do not change the hopelessness in the human heart. And I listen to many people, my parents, friends, fellow believers here at Trinity, and together we shake our heads at what is happening in our world today. And I'm sure in the days leading up to today, you, like me, cannot count the number of times that we've heard it said that those who died for our freedom would be shocked to see what has become of our society. Even in church, sometimes, we can despair. Something doesn't go as we like. Someone doesn't behave as we think that they should. Someone does or says something that we do not agree with. And there are moments when we might be tempted to say, "Shall I give up? Shall I give up?" And then I read verse 8 and this command, "Come and see the works of the Lord." And my hope is restored. The gospel does change hearts. God is at work in this broken, hurting world. No, I will not give up. God can revive our faith. A few years ago at the Canadian Baptist Ministry's presentation, I heard the story of a Muslim refugee family. This family had fled from Syria across the border into Lebanon. And there the family was welcomed, they were fed, they were housed, they were cared for by members of the Lebanese Baptist community, a community that Canadian Baptist Ministry supports. A little later, having experienced this care and this encouragement, having learned about Jesus, the husband of this refugee family had this to say. He said to his new Lebanese Baptist friends, "I thank God for the war because it led me to you. I thank God for the war because it led me to you." God is at work. Come and see the works of the Lord. You see, it's easy for us to focus on the turmoil around us, even in our world. But the more we focus on what God is doing, the less we will be rocked by the turmoil around us. This is why we read Romans 8 at the beginning of this service. "I am convinced that neither death nor life," says Paul, "neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the past nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." What's he left out? Nothing. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God is at work. Amen. We have no need to despair. His purposes will succeed. Come and see, this psalm says. That's the first command. But there's a second. It's in verse 10. It's probably the most famous phrase in this psalm. "Be still and know that I am God." I imagine that most of us draw strength from this soothing invitation to rest. So we read this verse as a powerful invitation to turn away from distraction and to reconnect with God. Let me assure you that taking time to stop and reconnect with God is good. As somebody once said, Nothing was ever accomplished in a stampede. So stop. Listen. Yes. But this is not what this psalm is saying. Sorry if I have now just ruined all your devotional life. This is not what this psalm is saying. The Hebrew for be still is not said quietly and serenely. It's a thunderous, enough, stop! It's thunder. And then notice what God says after this. I will be exalted among the nations, the same nations that are in uproar in verse 6. I will be exalted in the earth, the same earth that gives way in verse 2. What is God saying? When we look at the world around us, when we're tempted to be anxious, tempted to worry, here is God's word. Enough! Stop! I am your security. I will be exalted. I remember taking my son, Dakota, into the sanctuary at First Baptist Church in Penticton, where I was pastor. It was a quiet day. No one else was there. And on the wall is a fabulous, beautiful, meticulously created banner depicting Christ's death and his resurrection. We sat in a chair, each of us, facing this banner near the platform at the front of the sanctuary. And we looked at Jesus hanging on the cross, taking our sin and our suffering. At the cross, Jesus is with us in all our pain and our suffering. Only the God who suffers, taking all human sin, can offer true peace, because he knows what brokenness, pain, and suffering are like. Only the God who has suffered can truly bring healing. We looked at the cross, and we learned that. And then we looked at the risen Jesus. In the resurrection of Jesus, sin, brokenness, pain, and suffering are overcome. And Jesus brings life and hope and peace where it seemed none could ever exist. This is our hope, because Jesus is alive. As Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, God gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. We began to learn, Dakota and I, that God is our security. Jesus is our peace. So as I read Psalm 46, verse 10, be still, I hear the Lord say, enough. Look to Jesus. He is all that we need. A man announced a contest to produce a painting about true peace. Paintings arrived from all over, from far and wide. And finally, the day to judge the paintings, the entries arrived. The man uncovered one peaceful scene after another. While onlookers, viewers, cheered and clapped. But who would win? Only two pictures remained veiled. The man pulled the cover from one, and a hush fell over everybody present. The picture was of a smooth, glass-like lake. Lush green birch trees stood under the soft evening sky. Along the grassy banks, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. And then the man uncovered the second, the last painting, and the crowd gasped. A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. Storm clouds threatened to explode with lightning. Wind and rain swirled about. In the midst of these thundering and bitter images, a spindly tree clung to the rocks. And on one branch, nestled safely, a bird had made her nest. and there she rested on her eggs, safe from the storm about her. This painting, of all the paintings, depicted true peace. Bad things will happen. But God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, it says here. God's purpose will be fulfilled. We will not give up. So, stop! Enough! God is our security. Jesus is all that we need. As he himself said in John 14, verse 27, peace I give you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus is our refuge. Let's pray. Father God, we pray for our world and for your people in this world called to live for you, where they face opposition and persecution and struggle and hardship and hatred and violence. Lord, may you bring to bear the words of this psalm. And for each of us too, Lord, where there is turmoil in our own hearts, where there is brokenness, maybe even unforgiveness, where, Lord, we struggle, where, Lord, we may be fearful, speak these words into each of our lives. Help us to stop and once again renew our trust in you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here this day, ministering to each of us, ministering to your people, and through us into this wider world. Continue your work amongst us at Trinity, we would pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are welcome at the end of this service to come and receive prayer. Maybe there is something you know you need to deal with, someone, a situation, a circumstance that you know needs to be put right. Maybe there's just a general feeling of fear and uncertainty in your own life, or those that you might know and love. And you're welcome to come forward, and there are those here who will gladly pray with you. But I invite us now to stand and sing that great hymn that Horatio Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul." Let's